Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, November the 16th in 2023 on When I Rise. Today we continue year A, proper week 28, which is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And on the Thursday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves back in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll go to chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are like children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. This is the Word of God for us. So for those who are familiar with Pauline scholarship and the writing of the New Testament, you know that there is an interesting dialectic between the Paul that we meet in 1 Thessalonians and then the Paul that we're going to meet in 2 Thessalonians. We do believe that these letters are probably written close together. We assume that 1 Thessalonians is one of the first books that Paul wrote in the New Testament. We're not sure if it's the very first or if it's maybe the second. But nevertheless, when people tried to decide, as Paul's, continuing to ministry, missionary work, does his thought develop over time? Does he change as he continues to mull over the Christian faith? This becomes one of the places that people use as a way to engage in this discussion. Because in 1 Thessalonians, we see it here, that at the tail end of chapter 4 and getting to chapter 5, he talks about the end, and he's talking about an assertive posture for the church in regards to the end of days. So we do believe that Paul is a second temple first century Jew in his particular perspective of a Pharisee from his training. He would have imagined that an extraordinary event called the Day of the Lord would break in and that the God of Israel would put everything to the rights and be the God of justice in the earth. And many people have different ideas about that. The Sadducees, which were maybe the rhetorical enemies of the Pharisees, they believed that God wasn't going to do that from above, that God is ceding that power to individuals. And they enjoyed that perspective because they already owned all the land, they already had all the power. And so it was the insinuation of, hey, let's keep this regime in place because this seems to be God's plan. The Pharisees, they expected that God would move rather drastically, and there'd be like this climax of the covenant at the end of the age. And so Paul sees Jesus as the fulfillment of all the promises of Abraham, and so he does sense that there's going to be this unveiling of God in the earth, right? So here, like he tends to use this, golf club and the golf bag, because the Thessalonians have a new faith. It's a vibrant faith, but it is being buffeted by outside pressure and suffering. And so what's a way that which you would give up on your commitments is if you just, tired of the fight, tired of the difficult life. And so you relax for a while, and Paul seems to want to motivate them to continue to be diligent in their faith. And so he uses this interesting metaphor of a thief coming in the night. A thief's not going to come in broad daylight where you can see him coming a mile away. but it's at night where there's like a covering and maybe somebody's senses aren't sharp and they'd be able to have this upper advantage to take advantage of you, right? So in the same way, Paul's like, there are those who belong to the darkness and deeds follow those in the darkness and deeds follow those who are in the light. And Paul says, like, even though it's a mystery, God is going to return. And so let's not snooze overnight and perhaps miss the preparation for it. Let's be diligent. Let's be, he says, sober, and let's be aware. And he also says, let's be outfitted. He has a more abbreviated armor of God here that's different than Ephesians chapter 6. But he talks about faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And so you can just see this image of someone saying there could be some threats out there. There could be this, you know, temptation to take our eye out the, you know, off the window watch, and we could be overtaken because of it. And so let's be prepared and not just, you know, awake out of our beds, but let's be armed and ready in case something calls us to action. And so this is the one side of the paradox. This seems to be something that the Thessalonians took all too seriously, and they began to apply it in some weird and unusual ways. And so Paul has to come back in 2 Thessalonians and begin to talk about, like, hey, until the end, let's be diligent to build community and to work our jobs and to pay our mortgages and not try to scam off people who have money, right? Let's be those who work and prepare and go about common life also as we keep our eye on the horizon for the return of Jesus. So I think that the church is wise to keep these two things in paradox and in tension as well. We just get the sense, don't we, like generation after generation, that like the world is lovely, and yet the world is broken, and God needs to like intervene in some way. And so we long for that, and we know that it's really going to take God's intervention to bring about the right purposes. We can't trust ourselves because it's going to start to look like what we want it to look like, and so on and so forth. And so it's important for us to say, no, this is God's kingdom and not ours. But we should be those who just unplug from life and who refuse to be around non-believers and things like that. But we should be diligent. We should build careers and build families and have friendships and to do our best with the grace given to us to build up the world around us. And so Paul puts these two things in tension. But we see the first side today. And so it's like this interesting, like, multi-sided metaphor and warning, which is to be mobilized for works of service today, right? To have our eyes open and to be diligent. So brother and sister, there's a lot going on, right? There's some big things out there. The big questions always seem to show up on our doorstep, and we're trying to figure out, what does faithfulness look like in a day like ours? And so Paul says the first step to know is to, you know, be prepared, have your minds ready to be open and alert, and to be those who observe. Observe what God is doing in the earth and resist the temptation to unplug and to be less diligent and to just let this life pass us by. So the first step is to be mobilized for action and for observation. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Spirit, we take great comfort today knowing that you're a God and that you're the creator God who loves this creation, and we think that you're the redeeming God, that you rescued and you saved us and you swept us into this dynamic relationship that is full of purpose and hope and identity, but also mission. And we thank you that as we look closely, we see you working in the world around us, life upon life, place to place, where you are redeeming it. And every square inch, you're taking it back and you're allowing redemption to get its last word. We thank you for the promise and for the call that you call us all to be ministers of reconciliation, whether we're new to the faith or been in the faith a long time. And so God, we are overwhelmed by that. We know our limitations and frailties, the way in which we just don't seem to measure up when it comes to your standard. But we do thank you for grace that teaches us to say no to the things that we need to say no to, and it builds us up to be empowered to be your people who are eager to do what is good. And so this day, as it unfolds before us, we have an eagerness to do what is good, and that might be different from place to place and life to life, but we simply pray that we be led by your Spirit, that we keep in step with your Spirit, and that we be empowered by your Spirit to be your people. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.